Welcome to episode two of the series on Torah for Torah's sake. In the first episode, we went through Nefesh HaChaim, Shaar Dalad, Prakim Bet and Gimel, where Rav Chaim develops his notion of Torah Lishma, and we discovered that he bases it really on only one prior source. That source is a rush on a Gemara on Nedarim, Samach Bet Amud Aleph, and now. I think that before we go on, it's worth taking a look at that Gemara and seeing to what extent his explanation is compelling. But we've pointed out a number of ambiguities even within his explanation, so we'll close by studying the Shuri Das, who I imagine sees himself as fully in the tradition of Chaim, yet how he interprets the same material. So the Gemara in Durham says as follows, Tanya, there's a Breita, Le'avat Hashem lekech lishmo b'kolo l'davka bo. So what does it mean to love God, to heed his voice, and to cleave to him? Shlo yomar adam, the person should not say, Ekra sheyikruni chacham, I will read Mikra, I'll read Tanakh, so that people will call me chacham, Eshne sheyikruni Rebbe, or I'll learn Drash Bal Peh, so they'll call me Rebbe, Ashanein, I'll learn more deeply, sheyezokein ve'eshev ve'eshiva, Ela lemod me'ahava v'sof ha'kavod lavo. Right, so the opening anonymous statement of the Breita says that one should not learn for the sake of kavod, although it promises you that if you learn out of love of God, the Havat Hashem L'Kav Shema B'Kolo, then the kavod will come. And it quotes a series of psukim to prove that, including Drachei Adarchei Noam and Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Bavatam Chayam Ushar. Fine, that's the opening statement. Rabbi Ezer Bar Tzedok says, Asei dvarim l'shem pa'alam v'daber b'hem lishmam, al ta'asei matarat l'tgadil b'hem v'al ta'asei kordom l'hiyot oderbo. So the first question is Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok relating to the same pasuk as the Tanakhama, Le'avat Hashem Elokecha Lishma B'Kolo Davka Bo? I don't see how, but that leaves us really missing a context for Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok's statement. He's just strung together in a series of comments about motivation, but we don't know what his source is. Now he says, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Pa'alam V'Daber Bahem Lishmam. And then he tells you don't use them to build yourself up or possibly to make a living. So what L'Shem Pa'alam, convincingly, I think, means for the one who made them for God. And so we've got Abraham Lishmam gives us an idea that the intention of the speech about the Dvarim that he said in his first part, we don't know what those Dvarim are, again, we're lacking a context, is supposed to be done for a different motivation than for the sake of God. On this, the Rush says, "Asvei dvarim l'shem pa'alam." That means l'shmo shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shepa'al kol l'manehu. That's for the sake of God. V'daber b'hen l'shman kol diburcha u'ma'asacha b'divrei Torah yiyeh l'shem Torah. All your speech and conversation and words of Torah should be for the sake of the Torah. And that's the phrase that Rav Chaim really wants, for the sake of the Torah. And then he says something odd. He says, "Kigon," for example. I don't know why there's a kagon, for example. I would think he should just tell you, right? Which means, and that points out the fundamental structural flaw, right? Not to be arrogant or anything like that. That's not really in opposition to doing things for the sake of Torah themselves. But I guess, you know, we have to live with that in the context of the statement. Okay. So everything here derives from the Rush, but Rashi does not interpret this way at all. Rashi says that the meaning of this is in fact lipa'alam l'shem shemayim, v'daber b'hen l'shem shemayim, shetehei kol kavanatcha l'shemayim. So very hard to figure out what Rashi means. What's the difference between l'shem shemayim and shetehei kol kavanatcha l'shemayim? But nonetheless, Rashi clearly doesn't have a notion here of v'daber b'hen for the sake of Torah itself. So Rav Chaim said that's fine, because Rashi has the girsa of v'daber b'hen l'shem shemayim, so he has to explain it that way anyway. He has to explain it that way. But Rashi, he thinks, concedes that when normally we talk about learning Torah lishma, it doesn't say l'shem shemayim, it just says lishma, that means for the sake of Torah itself. I am not convinced. I think that if that were the case, he wouldn't have had to quote the Rush at the beginning. If it was just obvious that Torah Lishma meant Torah for its own sake, the only evidence he had was the Rush. Now, he's correct that if Rashi had the Girsa L'Shem Shemayim, then we don't know how Rashi interprets Lishma by itself. And so you could argue that since I have not found anybody who cites the Rashi and then says, no, that's wrong, we could argue that, well, this is the Rashi and there's no one in opposition. That's a legitimate halachic form of argumentation. But as a matter of intellectual history, the other way of looking at it is the Rashi said something that is unprecedented and no one even bothers to argue with it. And that tells you, I think, either, you know, ordinarily it would tell you that, that either they didn't notice that it was different or it really had no influence. So you can take your pick as to how you want intellectual history on that. It is, I think, clear that that Rashi had a different gear. So it's not a typo that Rashi had L'shem Shemayim. He didn't really say Lishma and say Shetekol Kavan Chal Shemayim. And these two editions, these two versions of Lishma and L'shem Shemayim, or variants of them, exist in many sources. Ksavi Ad Minchen has V'daber B'lehen L'Shemayim, right? But other manuscripts have Lishmam. A whole bunch of Rishonim have the same text as Rashi. The Tashbetz has the Be'er B'lehen L'Shem Shemayim. The Arzaruah has the Be'er B'lehen L'Shem Shemayim. The Rokeach has the Be'er B'lehen L'Shem Shemayim. So Rashi is right in the Miri. So lots of Rishonim have Rashi's text. So I think that's correct. That's probably Rashi's text is. I don't think it's useful to speculate as to what the original text was, because Lishma, Lishamayim, right, Lishmam and Lishamayim, right, obviously are easily distinguishable, and Lishem, Lishma, Lishem Shemayim, pretty easy to interchange among them. So I don't think it's constructive. I think we're just left with with what does Torah Lishma mean? Yes, the phrase Lishma shows up in lots of places. Yes, the Rush in this one place defines the Lishem HaTorah. But we can't find any other Rishon who uses a phrase like that or anything like it. That no Rishon disagree with the Rush explicitly does not necessarily indicate agreement. I should also note that there are that the Sifri and Midrash Tanaim both have not L'shem Pa'olam in the first half, but L'shem Pa'ulasam, which suggests a right for the sake of doing them, which suggests that maybe there's some kind of notion of L'shem HaMitzvah Atzma, which is not necessarily. I don't know. That's a thing you can speculate on your own. But we'll leave it for now is by saying that if this were really the only source for Rav Chaim, we'd like wonder, is there really a basis? Rabbi Lam in his Torah V'Torah concedes that Rav Chaim's point here is stretched, but Rabbi Lam suggests that there is another source that Rav Chaim doesn't cite, but he's very excited about it. Right, the way Rabbi Lam frames it is, Rav Chaim's cognitive definition of Lishma is for the sake of Torah is corroborated even more explicitly by another early source, which he does not mention, pertaining to the Mishnah Avot, which states that all your actions shall be for the sake of heaven. We have the following interpretation of the Rabbi Natan, version A, for the sake of the Torah, as it is said, in all thy ways know him, and he will make thy way straight. L'shem HaTorah, right? Shenemar b'chol derechecha de'ehu v'hu yasher or chotecha. So Rabbi Lam says that this is an explicit source for Rav Chaim, and I think it is not at all. And here's why. The whole point of Rav Chaim is that the motivation of for Torah is supposed to be distinct from the motivation of for mitzvot, and it makes no sense to say that mitzvot are done for the sake of Torah in Rav Chaim's definition. What would it mean for mitzvot to be done for the sake of, as the Rush says, right, to better do and understand? You could argue a version, right, I guess you could say, in which the purpose of mitzvot is purely intellectual, to gain understanding. Rav Lichtenstein at one point, in an article I think that's now been reprinted in Chal Aviv on Oseik Mitzvah, Patur Min Mitzvah, Rav Lichtenstein suggests that, in the Rambam at least, that the reason you have to do mitzvot, even if you would otherwise learn, is because it's a weakness in your Talmud Torah if you don't actually do it. I guess that's an interesting way in which you could conceivably assimilate the mitzvot to the intellectual. And in a general Rambam scheme, you could argue that the whole purpose of mitzvot is to affect you. But I still think with all that, that Rav Chaim's idea depends on Torah for Torah's sake being an idea which distinguishes it from other mitzvot. That's what the point of the Rasha statement is. Right, Aseh dvarim l'shem pa'olam, right? Do things l'shem pa'olam, right, for God. But Daber b'hem lishmam means for the sake of Torah, and Rabbi Lam's source is, so far as I can tell, talking about all mitzvot. Behold, derechecha de'ehu, who yasher ochotecha. It's talking about maaseh hamitzvot, and it's L'shem HaTorah is defining L'shem Shemayim in that context. So I don't think that L'shem HaTorah there could possibly mean what Rav Chaim says the Rush means, and Fakert, that the source that Rilam quotes could be used in reverse to say, well, Rav Chaim must not be pshat in the Rush, because the Rush is probably drawing his idea from that Avot Rabbi Natan, though we don't know that, but he could be, and then it can't, right, and then it has to apply to both Torah and Mitzvot equally in theory, and therefore Rav Chaim must have it wrong. I don't think I would go so far as to make that argument either, but certainly Rav Lam is not actually providing a source for Rav Chaim, quite the contrary, and we're left that Rav Chaim's statement stands on its own. Okay, so the other thing I want to do in this episode is just point to the Shuri Das, Rabbi Bloch tells, and this is at the end of Shir Bet Amalot HaTorah, and I can't imagine that he sets himself up as an opposition to Rav Chaim. But here's what he says at the end of the shir. Yashar shezehu inyan libud Torah lishma. Maybe this is what we mean by Torah lishma. Kilomar l'shem haTorah atzma. Right. So he's consciously placing himself in the tradition of Rav Chaim Volozhin. Lo bishvil schara. So l'shem haTorah atzma means not for the sake of the reward it can provide, and keep that in mind as well, because Rav Chaim said l'hanchil ohava yesh, talks about the Torah promising you reward. And not even for the sake of doing the mitzvah, that is consistent with Chaim. Ela l'shem Torah atzma, rather for the sake of Torah itself. L'shem kedushasa v'arevusa, for the sake of its holiness and its sweetness. Ke'en l'sha'er ad kama arevim him divrei Torah. You can't, man, there's no way to measure how sweet the words of Torah are. To one who merits tasting from the tree of life of our holy Torah. Because through this sweetness of Torah, a person ties themselves, is connected to God. Anochi is an acronym for Anonafshik Tiva Tehivat, I wrote and gave my soul. And this is the sweetness of Torah, and fortunate is the one who merits this. Listen again, Torah Atzma, and I really believe Rabbi Bloch understands himself as saying the same thing as Rav Chaim, means L'shem Kedush Hasa V'Arivusa, for its holiness and sweetness, not for knowledge. The knowledge is just there because it generates holiness and sweetness. And furthermore, remember that Rav Chaim gave his definition of Torah Lishma in opposition to, he says, right, the commonly held notion that the purpose of Talmud Torah is Dveikus. Well, here Rav Bloch is back to, I don't know the difference between being Dveik B'Kodesh Baruch Hu and being Mikasher L'Hakodesh Baruch Hu. It sounds like pretty much the same thing. So what I think this points up is that it's not, Rav Chaim is really not so clear. Right? What does he mean by Torah itself? There's a natural tendency, I think, to say he must mean something other than that. In fact, the Rush goes on to define it. L'havin l'idal sif lecha chupilpul. But Rav Chaim is insistent on Torah atzma, and that forces the Shuri Das to say, well, it must be something about Torah. Again, I don't think he was conscious of the difference. I don't think this can possibly be what Rav Chaim says. But it seems to me that that means we don't really 100% get what Rav Chaim is saying yet. So we're going to stop here. It's a short episode, and come back by reading a, I believe, Episode 3 will be a section of Isha Halakha.